Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jesse does all the caffeine pills. I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness.
Please tell me you're recording this.
It's on the audio. I just started the video. So okay. It's on the audio for sure.
I'll save my dramatic acting for next time.
Start the show.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
2 of the hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host. I am the ring announcer to the stars, the Twitterless heroine herself, the most professional podcaster, and of course, the queen of soft style. Says it right here, Miranda Morales. And this is my show. So welcome to it. I'm very excited to have you listening, or if you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. I'm here again. We're doing it again. It's another week. More wrestling has happened. It's actually been a very, very exciting week in wrestling. We'll be getting into tonight's topics very shortly. But, you know, I don't do this show alone. I physically can't because I don't have all the buttons and, you know, lots of technical stuff behind the scenes. But also because, you know what? It wouldn't be the same without my friend, thechairshot.com's kingpin, Greg DeMarco.
Some of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are on that plane.
That's me. I'm here.
I changed up the order a little bit, but it's still the same. You are still the kingpin of thechairshot.com, and you are the chairshot.com's kingpin.
I got downgraded to friend, though. That hurts.
Well, I mean, you are one of my best friends. We've already established, you know, just like you have two best friends, and myself and Patrick O'Dowd, I also have two best friends. One is on this show and does the show with me. The other best friend doesn't even really know this exists.
Really? So,
I mean, she kind of knows it exists, but like never would she listen to it because it would be, I don't know. I would love to have her on the show one day. I'd love to actually, I've been thinking about this and I want to do like a drunk wrestling, sort of like drunk history, but just talking and explaining wrestling to people who are not. I've done this before. I've done this with two of my very best friends. I think we were in Colorado visiting, and I was at that time explaining to them what I do as a ring announcer and an interviewer, and they were both kind of stunned. We ended up fantasy booking a storyline, how we would all become part of this team that would take over a promotion. So I love how, like, for people who don't know anything about wrestling or aren't fans, eventually if you have enough drinks, you'll fantasy book anything.
True. That's true.
I mean, that's a fact.
I think you start by letting her know the show exists and have her listening to it, but and watching it, and then we get into, you know, having her on. That's just my suggestion. Yeah. It's your show.
No, yeah, it is my show, and I'll do whatever I want. Trust me, that is still a good suggestion. So, you know, maybe I'll follow it. But I mean, we have a lot to talk about. We had a packed weekend of wrestling. Specifically, we're going to be talking about NXT 31. This show came out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere. But you didn't see it coming. You did because it was scheduled, but you didn't realize how good it was going to be. I think everyone had high expectations because it's a takeover, but this one in particular didn't have any fancy, you know, titles, didn't really have anything, you know, that made people say, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. But yet every single match on this card was wonderful. And we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about this past week's Monday Night Raw. We got storyline about
retribution,
and we now have a leader of this group. Gray and I have been on this show several weeks ago talking. Oh man, is it just too easy? I've already seen the comparisons between the Dark Order, or people saying like, who do you like better, Retribution or the Dark Order? And it's like, so what if I like neither? Like, does that count as anything?
Well, I'll save my answer for that for later.
Yes, yes. I would say, look, I will say that the Dark Order is way more entertaining on like BTE.
Maybe, like, yeah, but should they be? If you think about in terms of what they're supposed to be, should they be more entertaining?
I don't care. I like dumb stuff. Like the Dark Order on the Being the Elite videos are hilarious. Like that's the Dark Order I want to see on TV, but I love dumb stuff. So that's why, if you don't like dumb stuff, if you want to take your storylines too seriously, then no, that it shouldn't be. But this girl over here loves her dumb shit. And, why am I so proud of that?
You should be though. You should be, but I've been sitting on the button for a while now. So, Do the spiel so we can, you know the spiel.
Yeah, I know the thing. Anyways, but we have a lot to go over on tonight's episode, so we're very excited to be sharing all of that, our thoughts and analysis on those two things. Before we get to it, though, you know, we live in the great state of Arizona. Some of you may not. But we had to continue to plug Impact Zone Wrestling, IZW, presenting NAV 30, Saturday, November 21st in Tempe, Arizona at Sun Studios of Arizona. Talent announcements have been released on social media. So you're getting to see who will be present, who's going to be on the card for NAV 30. And of course, it's a celebration of the career, the influence, and absolutely not a retirement of the Navajo Warrior. Again, it's going to be a great celebration bringing wrestling back to Arizona. So make sure you're following IZW Wrestling on social media to stay up to date on who's going to be at NAV 30.
That's IZW Wrestling AZ on your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, IZWWrestling.com. Get your tickets, get all your announcements. So the show is going to release on Wednesday. And I can tell you that on Wednesday, at least two of the talent announcements will be people that have never wrestled in IZW before. One of whom has never wrestled in the state of Arizona before. So yeah, definitely got some new folks coming out. You know, when you're celebrating the impact and influence of the Navajo Warrior, people want to be a part of it. So that makes my job a little bit easier, but yeah, come check it out and, you know, get those VIP tickets. Still got some front row available. Couches are gone. A good portion of the front row was gone as well. But you get a VIP match booked by the Navajo Warrior himself, and you get a Q&A session. You get to ask whatever question you want of the Navajo Warrior. And you know what? Just because it's, you know, because nepotism is real and that's what friends do, I secured the services of Miranda Morales to host the VIP Q&A of the Navajo Warrior at NAV 30. So I don't know what else I can really say. And I don't know if you're listening and you haven't bought your tickets yet. I don't know why, but we still have a few. So head on over, IZWWrestling.com. Pick them up. It's going to be a great time to get back out there to do something fun. We'll have the precautions in place that we need to. And it's going to be just a great time and a great celebration. And it's 2020 was the year that he hit 30 years in the business. We got to do it this year. So come on out and be a part of it. It's going to be great.
And while you're at it, if you want to follow Greg and I on social media, you can do that as well. Me, Miranda Morales, you can find me at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook. No Twitter. But I was live tweeting. I did a takeover of the Chair Shots Twitter for NXT TakeOver 31. So if you want to relive those tweets or make sure that you are around for the next takeover, well, follow at Chair Shot Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that way you can stay up to date on all of the news and, of course, all of the podcast release from the Chair Shot Radio Network. And you can also follow Greg at Chair Shot Greg, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, no TikTok, no TikTok.
I did one TikTok dance. It's on Facebook and that's it. No more.
That's as much as we're going to get, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all you're getting.
So, yes, make sure to follow Greg as well. And too, I mean, he has some great posts. Patrick O'Dowd and I had a great bonding moment where we made fun of him now that he's this CrossFit athlete, social influencer. Who knew? Talking about things that 2020 we did not expect. If you would have said, you know, Greg is going to be an Instagram influencer or a social media influencer, CrossFit aficionado, I would have been a little skeptical. Not to say that I didn't think he could do it, because he could do anything he puts his mind to. However, that I did not expect.
Well, you saw me at, you know, 280 pounds. Like, you saw the, you got to see the before and the after, and right now it's kind of the during. But yeah, it's, you know, it's, I wouldn't have thought so either. So I don't fault you for that whatsoever. But here we are. Here the bleep we are, 2020.
Here we are. Mainly more the influencer stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have thought so either.
Pictures of yourself. And
I know.
You're repping your, you know, the company that you're an ambassador for, not dead, can't quit. Though we had a great interview with the co-founder of Not Dead, Can't Quit.
Co-founder Mandy Makowitz. She was there. The other co-founder was like sitting on the other side of the computer. So that's really cool. I'm surprised a kid got on camera, but Jody didn't get on camera. I was a little surprised by that. But yeah, we got to do that and talk about the brand and talk about Not Dead, Can't Quit and what it means. And of course, hefty discount, 30%. Head on over there. NDCQ.com, promo code DeMarco, save 30%. That's a lot. It's a lot to save. That's like, you know, if you spend $50, that's $15. That's $50 is now $35. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
It's a pretty hefty discount.
You don't usually get that kind of discount. Usually you get 20. Yeah. All the other discounts are 20. It's the only one that's 30. Mandy actually talked about that, about how, you know, difficult it was, but they were willing to do it. And so I didn't ask for 30%, but they went for it. So I'm super excited about it. But yeah, check it out. Go to ndcq.com. Listen to the interview on the Greg DeMarco Show. It'll also be released on YouTube. We did do the video for that one, just the interview portion of it. So that'll be released this week as well. And just a lot of great stuff. A lot of great stuff.
Lots of great stuff. So make sure you do that. I also want to make a special shout out to the team of Mags and Tolly from the Badlands podcast. That's part of the Chairshot Radio Network. I was honored to be their guest from this past week's episode where we did the Mount Rushmore of terrible debuts. It's funny how they thought that this was maybe not the best topic for me, but it was literally the most perfect topic for me. So they got to get that sense of me. It was a really fun show. Both of them are lovely, lovely gentlemen. And if you don't know, if you never heard to or have listened to an episode of the Badlands wrestling podcast with, you know, that's part of the Chairshot Radio Network, the two hosts, Mags and Tully, they do a Mount Rushmore of, you know, particular wrestlers, of events, of moments. And they bring on guests as well to create their own Mount Rushmore. So we got to talk about some of the more typical terrible debuts. Of course, you know, the ones that come to mind, the big ones like the Shockmaster and the Gobbledygooker. However, we talk about a few ones that a few people either forget or wouldn't think about for debuts. So that was a great episode and just a fun time. So go ahead and make sure you check out the Badlands podcast.
So it strikes me as funny. So I've been on there and you've been on there and Patrick will be on there soon. But When I went on there, I had the Mount Rushmore of on a pole matches. You went on there, you get the Mount Rushmore of horrible debuts. Patrick's going on there. He's getting like the Mount Rushmore of like AWA old school wrestling or something like that. Like, this doesn't seem fair. Like, you and I got like the, you guys can handle the worst whatever topics. And Patrick gets like the glory days.
Well, you know, like I said, it's actually a perfect topic for me because I love terrible things. You know, what did I just say?
About that earlier.
I love stupid stuff. So it was easy for me to talk about that. So I could see for you, like, you know, you are the kingpin of thechairshot.com. You know, have a wealth of knowledge. And the fact that you got on the pole matches, I could see that.
No, I loved it. I actually enjoyed it because I got to talk about, I mean, I get to go first. And of course, I'd, you know, be fired from everything I've ever done if I didn't mention the Judy Bagwell on a pole match. So that was an easy first one, but that was a lot of fun. I was just miffed because the week before me got to do the Mount Rushmore of Royal Rumble surprise entrances, and then I get on a pole match. So it's like, okay, but it was really fun, and it's a great show. They have a lot of fun, and I definitely encourage you to listen every week, especially the week when it gets released here shortly with Miranda's episode that's on there, and then Patrick should be recording his later this week, so it'll be a lot of fun. Pull back the curtain a little bit. I have wanted to hear Patrick and Miranda on that show, and I'm glad they've gotten to do that. Mags and Tali invite people from all over social media involved in wrestling, all are heavily involved in Twitter, right? All the Twitter people. And of course, that wouldn't count Miranda Morales because she's a Twitterless heroine. But I really like, even going back when they first joined and they want to have me on, I was just like, there's two people you got to have on. And here are their email addresses, like sign them up. And, you know, Mags, super organized, plans these things months in advance. So to be able to get Patrick and Miranda on there, I'm thrilled. I can't wait to listen to both of those episodes, and especially the one that Miranda just recorded. Should be out in a few weeks, and I'm really, really excited about that one. And I love having that show as part of the Chairshot Radio Network, so it's a win-win-win for me and for Miranda, that's for sure.
Yes. And again, I think that it's going to be a fun episode. So make sure you stay tuned. As we said, that podcast and this one as well, as along with many others, are part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find on, well, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Where?
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, if you're going to change things around and go in a different order, I'm going to change things around myself. So that's just how things work.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
I miss the wild card role. I do.
I mean they kind of have it now. Just, with this.
Yeah, but I wish it was acknowledged as the wild card role.
Damn, everything, you know? Good goes away. We're all underground. But yeah.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
But that's the great thing about having a podcast with me. I will make sure all things, good and bad, don't have a chance to die. Like, I just make sure that we make sure. I mean, I still play this.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! About to open the fucking window.
It's been at least 2 months since we did the Money Plane episode, and I still do this.
Money Plane.
Like, it's just, I don't let things die. I just don't.
No,
so
doesn't.
The wild card rule will never end.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
Ever. I'd play Fantastic Man right now, but I can't because it's the YouTube version of the show. And
yeah,
they get flagged and all that stuff and happen, and I just get,
and, you know,
I get mad. So instead, we just do this.
This is such good shit.
Because that ain't going to die either.
Nah. Yes. Dave, and speaking of things that don't die, I don't know how I'm going to transition, but I am going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I don't know how that transition.
That was a brilliant transition. T-shirts don't die.
But you should go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and get your very own chair shot T-shirt today. I am wearing something very special. It's a shirt that I may or may have not misplaced. No one can prove either way. But this is the sleeveless unisex soft style version of the Queen of Soft Style shirt. Okay. I have to point this out because Greg made fun of me as far as, you know, me purchasing this shirt and not purchasing it in soft style. He thought that, you know, man, did she really mess up? She got her shirt, but she didn't even order in soft style and it's her shirt. No, 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 no. If you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, of course, there's over 25 different t-shirt designs that you can order from. And within each design, there's a wide variety of selections of the style of t-shirt that you can order. You can get it in unisex. You can get it fitted. You can get regular sleeveless, but you can get it in soft style, sleeveless and with sleeves. Two versions of soft style t-shirts that you can choose from. And you know what? I got both because I am the queen of soft style. So you don't think I'd get both soft style versions? Come on now. What? I would practice what I preach. So yes, this is a little informal for my show. I'm usually wearing something a little nicer, but I wanted to rep this and let you know you can get this very t-shirt. And not only can you get it now, but starting October 7th through the 10th, well, you can get 20% off your order using the code, promo code FALL. So when you are checking out, make sure to use the promo code FALL and get 20% off your order. And that also includes with any of the shirts that you get at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There are some other awesome, cool designs. And of course, other t-shirts supporting other podcasts from the Chairshot Radio Network. At this point, I have my Chairshot t-shirt count at about 4. That will probably go up sometime soon in the future because there's some great t-shirts. Actually, 5 t-shirts. All supporting thechairshot.com. So try and catch up with me. You know you could do it. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and get your very own Chairshot t-shirt today. And don't forget, October 7th through the 10th, promo code FALL for 20% off.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
That's over 150 of your favorite promotions found exclusively at powerslam.tv. So go to powerslam.tv and you'll get a free week. But if you use the promo code CHAIRSHOT,
maybe
you will
talk
get a
when
free
I'm
month. Now, a month is only $6, but why not try it out and see if you like it first and do it on us. Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
See, I heard you like stupid shit, so I decided to do some stupid shit during the stupid
Yeah,
shit.
I mean, you ruined it. You did your own. You ruined it. You ruined it all by yourself.
Some people might say ruined. I would probably say ruined. But yeah, it was fun for me.
It was good.
To talk when I was talking. Because, I mean, my egotistical self, what's better than hearing me and hearing me?
That is also true. It's like you're a ventriloquist, but you are also the ventriloquist artist and the dummy as well. You're both.
You just wanted to call me a dummy. That's all this was about right there.
Did it work?
And I saw right through you. I saw right through what you were doing. I saw what you were doing.
But it still worked.
And in my brain, I was like,
are you really fucking with me right now? Are you fucking with me?
And the answer was yes. And you know what?
Yes.
I'm 100%.
This is my show, so I get to if I want to call you a dummy.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. That's, you get to do that.
Only in the sense of, you know, the inanimate object.
Of course.
That's really.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So wrestling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wrestling.
No, we talk about
We've been recording for almost 2 hours between multiple shows, and now we're going to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, now we're going to talk about wrestling. You know, that it's always a record for us to see how long we can get into a show and finally...
24 minutes and 12 seconds until you said the word
wrestling. All right, yeah. So we already... I mean, now that gives us plenty of time to talk about wrestling. So NXT TakeOver 31 happened this past Sunday, which is a rarity. We usually see takeovers on Saturdays, but Sunday takeover. And, you know, on first glance, you know, this was something that was announced a while ago as far as a takeover, you know, that's happening in October. We'll get into, you know, October takeovers because at first, you know, there was some hope. I know we talked about it on the Greg DeMarco show of what this show was truly going to be, and it wasn't, but there's a twist. And there wasn't any special title to it. You know, we had just seen TakeOver 30 just not too long ago. And so we didn't know what to expect. You know, we just knew that this was going to be TakeOver 31, no fancy titles. And then shortly before the show started, we heard news that this TakeOver wasn't going to be at the Performance Center, wasn't going to be at Full Sail, but it was going to be at a new facility, the Capitol Wrestling Center. So this is also seeming like a new chapter in NXT. And on this card, on paper, of course, some fantastic matches that have been built, some over the past few weeks, some very recently. But overall, I think the consensus, it was a really, really good takeover and somewhat shocking of how good this was. And not to say that NXT takeovers at any point are disappointing, but there's sometimes that they can feel underwhelming or because of the standard that they've set, that if there is something that maybe doesn't hit up to par, the whole event kind of feels a little flat. But overall, the vibe, the presence of fans, this also was something unique where we had the Thunderdome as part of NXT, which we normally don't see. And I mean, some amazing matches. All of the championships were defended in the North American title, the women's title, and of course that banger NXT championship match. But let's start off at the beginning as far as the look of the arena. In that it was blocked off as far as the way that the areas of the arena had spacing in between. We've seen the barricades already set up for NXT and Raw with the plastic dividers between, you know, the ring area and the seating area. But now we saw kind of these cubes or these kind of sitting areas for fans to come in with kind of a cage lining as well, which gave it a kind of a nice darker spin to it. I kind of thought this was what Raw Underground should kind of look like as far as some of the cage setup. And again, too, we had the Thunderdome. So it was a weird kind of marriage of, you know, some darker elements, but also your mainstream WWE elements. Gray, I know you have some particular thoughts about this setup. And you're on mute.
Why is that funny? Do I laugh at you every time you freeze? Okay, I do actually. So it's,
no,
it's,
yeah, you do.
Bad example.
You laugh, you point it out, you mock me like.
Yeah. Okay, that's how this shit works. Yeah, you're right. This is this is what it's like being best friends.
And I just got to keep you humble. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be a good friend and keep you humble. Yeah. You're all on your Instagram now and like showing how cool you are. And like, you know, friends like myself and Patrick are here just to make sure like you don't get too big of an ego. I mean, you are Craig, so that's like bound to happen. But
you're the annoying little sister I never had. That's what you are.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you are.
That's
so
exactly what I am.
I felt Dixie Carter at first is how I put it to you in a text message.
Yeah, you got to explain what you mean by
Dixie Carter. I will. Yeah. So Dixie Carter had a history of saying that something's going to be monumental, it's going to be life-changing, whatever, and then it would end up being like Rob Terry or something like that. Like, it just was she never delivered on her promises. And Triple H said this was going to change the face of the business. Like, he literally talked about how this was a game changer of a setup, and it wasn't a game changer of a setup at all. And so for me, I immediately, because I'm visioning game changer, I'm like, what are we going to see? Like, how's it going to be so different?
You know, a bouncy house.
Like, yeah, like what is this going to be? And he talked about it's like a heavy metal soundstage, whatever. And then I'm like, okay, still the NXT stage. It's still this. And so it took me, okay, we put fences in front of the plexiglass. Okay, that's cool. Oh, we got the Thunderdome people, and they kind of go way far back in one corner at one point. So that's okay. And so I'm just like, okay, I can't wait to see this thing I've never seen before. And then it was something I've seen before, just a mixture of things I've seen before. Once I got over that, though, I was like, it's actually pretty cool. And I wish, my only gripe is that they have this cool stuff on the ceiling with all the trusses and everything, and it's great lighting. And NXT used to be like, had the video boards on the rings, used to have the video boards on the post, like all that stuff. And then they lost all of it when it went to Raw and SmackDown. And I kind of wish they still had some of the ceiling lit and all that during the match, because it's a cool look. And I thought that I wish they were able to keep that look. Like, I thought maybe we'd get more of an elevated entrance, or maybe I almost, you know, would love to see like a balcony effect where the fans were a little bit higher, and maybe, like, again, yeah. I'm sitting there and I'm building my playlist, right? And then they don't play the songs that are on my playlist, and so whatever. But once I got over my own playlist, it's actually really cool, and it is unique, yeah. And it is something that, you know, it is a mixture, right? They got video boards all over the place. Okay, well, so does Ring of Honor. They've got, you know, fans and that are standing up. Well, so did Raw and SmackDown. And now we've got fences in front of the plexiglass. Okay, that's new. And so it's, you know, once I got through, it is cool. It is suiting of NXT. And I'm excited about it. And I think it will be a good home for them moving forward. It's also kind of a way to show the Amway Center, hey, we don't need you charging, mm-hmm. you know, and so when this deal is up in October, maybe we're not going to keep spending $450,000 a month. Maybe we'll just go here. So who knows? I'm glad you pointed out that it's not the Performance Center, because I have seen so many wrong things on the internet that the Performance Center has been renamed the Capitol Wrestling Center, that this is part of the, it's literally, watch Ember Moon on a motorcycle. She drives from the Performance Center to the Capitol Wrestling Center. It's not the same. It's in the same complex. It's a different area of the same building, but it's not a revamping of the Performance Center. They took over another space and built that in there. So the Performance Center can still exist as the Performance Center. So I'm glad you said it that way, because so many people think this is the brand new Performance Center, and it's not.
Yeah. So, I mean, what, rarely do I get my facts right. The fact that I get this one, thanks for pointing that out. No, not that I, you know, I just sometimes, you know, misword a few things here or there, but you know, it was also the way that they set it up though, too, as far as framing at the Capitol Wrestling Center, the beginning of the show, they talked about, you know, Capitol Wrestling being part of the history of the WWF as well. So I do think it's a nice nod. It gets a little confusing, I guess, for fans as far as what that means.
Yeah.
More of a name, but the way it presides from history and all of that, it can be a little confusing. So I don't blame, you know, it happens, but yes, it is a separate building. It is not the Performance Center. It is not Full Sail. It is not the Amway Center. It is a separate building within the property of where the Performance Center
is. And you're right about the whole, it's when you think of the Capitol Wrestling Center, you don't think of what we got. Like, the name doesn't fit the venue at all. Like, the Capitol Wrestling Center should be like some old smoky 1950s arena. Yeah, we got a microphone that comes down from the ceiling, and that's about it. But you know what? It suits NXT.
Yeah. So I briefly want to go over, well, I'll go into some matches in more in depth, but briefly go over the entire card, because again, this was a really solid card from beginning to end. The very first match of the night was for the North American Championship, Damian Priest defending his title against Johnny Gargano. Commentary really pushing. Okay, so we're going to talk about commentary real quick. I have to segue, because that part was confusing. That was one that was very distracting all mm-hmm. night. So you had, you know, the commentary team, you could hear them, you know, Beth Phoenix, Wade Barrett, Vic Joseph, but visually that wasn't matching up. And particularly the female in the broadcast table looked nothing like Beth Phoenix. So apparently they were all recording in different locations, but still for some reason had physical people there as if they were commentary or providing the commentary. Like, why?
I don't know why the stand-ins were there. I don't know why the Sasha Banks lookalike was sitting next to Vic Joseph. Making me literally send you a picture being like, I think that's Sasha Banks.
Yeah, no, that's what reminded me. I was like, yes, you, I think, and I saw it all over the internet again, because yeah. I was live tweeting about live this. Tweeting. So there was so I didn't many watch tweets
it
live, about.
So I watched it. I didn't even start watching it until after it was over, but it was just weird. Yes. And I don't know why the physical stand-ins were there. I don't know if they were playing a role. They had headsets on.
They didn't need it. They really didn't.
But it also would have been weird to have Vic Joseph just sitting there by himself. So
he didn't need to be on camera though. I mean, they didn't even need to place that on camera.
That's weird because the commentary was actually in a cooler place in the Performance Center than where it is now. Mm-hmm. Like the commentary is now in the typical place that it would be for Raw and SmackDown. Another one of those things that you think would be different in this brand new, you know, Dixie Carter land, but it was weird having the stand-ins there, and I'm sure they served a great purpose. Maybe we can tweet at Vic Joseph and be like, hey, why were the people sitting next to you that weren't on commentary? Maybe they're training.
A little bit of a distraction.
They could have been part of the, you know, producing. Who knows? Audio-wise, commentary sounded fine. The fact that they can do commentary with three commentators in three different places for a live event is pretty damn impressive. So
It really is.
AEW can't even get good commentary, and they're all three sitting next to each other. So the fact that we can do this in all various parts of kind of the same area, like Beth Phoenix in North Carolina, Wade Barrett, I think, is in Orlando, and you know, been a lot of COVID restrictions. That's probably why he wasn't there. And Vic Joseph there live. What's really interesting was that when they did a shot of just Vic Joseph there, Sasha Banks and other person weren't sitting there. Like they ducked off to the side or whatever.
Exactly.
It was just one of those things where somebody on the inside would probably be like, who cares? But we care. That's who cares.
Okay. Just little things. Cause we expect good things out of NXT. That's why. Cause we have high expectations because you set them that way, NXT.
But it's not a bad thing. Like they just happen to be.
No, it's not a bad thing.
Commentary was fine. It just looked
a quirky thing. I do have to commend the commentary for the event was great. I really liked Wade Barrett as an addition to the NXT commentary team. I think he has a great role there, and I think he gels very well. I continue to enjoy Beth Phoenix. I think I've just seen her evolve, and what she contributes to the commentary team is more and more enjoyable every week. But especially for this show, they had a great dynamic. And you're right, like they were all from three different places, and they were still able to keep a cohesive commentary flow and it not be overwhelming or messy. It's a huge testament to them.
So. And Vic Joseph fits NXT.
He does.
I know he went from Raw and then he was off, and then you had Tom Phillips and Corey Graves are always a lot of fun. But Vic Joseph, he could, if NXT continues to grow and be its own brand and they'd stop shuffling commentary around, he could, if he does this for a few years, he could be associated with NXT like Michael Cole is with SmackDown. And you know, I think this could be his niche for a long time if they keep him there. Just random sidebar about Vic Joseph.
Sidebar, yes. So first match, Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano. This match kind of surprised me. You have an obvious height difference between the two men, obvious different skill set and even specialties. You know, Damian Priest really relies on his legs for those kicks. He has that strength and that body build where Johnny Gargano is more about his speed. And, you know, one thing he did is a fantastic job on is really trying to help negate that issue of Damian Priest and his legs by, you know, trying to take him down, starting with the kneecaps and continuously focusing on those legs. Damian Priest, though, I mean, those kicks are something else. It's something that you don't really see a lot in wrestling. To me, he almost felt like a video game character with, you know, the way that he moves. But, you know, they were able to have really great chemistry. I mean, you get to see – I got to see some elements of that heart of Johnny Gargano and kind of how it's changed. You still see the same spirit and drive, but it's under this tone of a heel now. So some things clicked for me as far as his personality and his character more in this match than in any other match I've seen him in quite a while. And Damian Priest continues to look like a star. I mean, the North American Championship is doing exactly what it's meant to do with him, to elevate him, to showcase him, to show how strong he is. And I could easily see him moving up the ladder into an eventual NXT championship contendership. But I thought this was actually a really great way to start the show. And again, part of me was a little surprised having that big difference in size and in skill, having a really great flow of a match, really great competitive match. And ultimately both look great, but it still gives that edge to Damian Priest, who is still working and building his way up the roster.
I'm scared.
For?
By this time next week, I don't think Johnny Gargano is going to be part of the NXT roster. And I don't know how that's going to pan out.
Yes. It's a good question, because this does set up, I mean, we talked about it earlier. This sets the tone of kind of a new era of NXT. And we'll talk more, because there was a lot more implications around that as well. We have the draft coming up and NXT's involved. And Johnny Gargano,
we think they're involved. We don't know if they're involved.
We don't know. It's not been
according to Triple H. He doesn't even know.
Which lies? Why are you lying to us?
Thanks, Dixie. Thanks, Triple Dixie. Dixie H. Triple Dixie. That's his new name.
Triple Dixie.
And I love Triple H, but I'm gonna call him Triple Dixie.
For this case, yeah. Because why you lie to us? Why do you lie to us?
He knows. He knows. Maybe if he doesn't know, then they haven't decided.
And that could be the case, you know, I mean, it could be some spur of the moment thing, and they kind of really do want to keep it secretive. So that way it's a big surprise to fans, and fans are, you know, glued to Friday and Monday. And it creates a lot of buzz on the internet. I mean, it is very possible that they're really keeping this under wraps. I mean, that's been a thing about this current COVID era of wrestling. They've kept a lot of things under wraps pretty successfully. So
But I'll be honest with you, I'd rather people just show up on NXT versus getting drafted to NXT. I'd rather Ember Moon ride the green motorcycle and walk out on the stage, or Tony Storm appear on the screen, or Finn Balor come out after Adam Cole defends his championship. Like, I'd rather that than Stephanie McMahon being like, NXT has drafted Kevin Owens. Like, I don't want that. It doesn't fit NXT at all. So I'd rather we have Friday, we have Monday, and then maybe we get a surprise or two on NXT on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I would much rather prefer to see it that way. So
yeah, I'm fine. But yeah, so I mean, good point about Johnny Gargano. He's been in this kind of safe space in NXT where he's been able to, you know, develop who he is as a hero, as a villain. You know, his character absolutely and himself could get lost in the mix of moving up to Raw or SmackDown. Absolutely. He had, teased that a little bit previously when they brought him up temporarily. But now more than ever, I mean, there's a lot going on Raw and SmackDown. And it's been very obvious that those characters don't translate the best to those shows. And we would lose the essence of Johnny Gargano very quickly.
We would. Here's my concern, because when I've had this conversation with people, I don't think it's ever been on air, but everyone gives me the example of Daniel Bryan. And people seem to think that of all the small wrestlers, that Johnny Gargano is the closest thing to Daniel Bryan. And I get that. I do. Here's the problem. Every generation can only have one Daniel Bryan. And this generation's Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan. So we can't have Johnny Gargano come in and fulfill the Daniel Bryan role. There hasn't been enough time since Daniel Bryan became Daniel Bryan for someone else to fulfill that role. And I'm just worried about what it means for Gargano. Now, his story about how he wasn't even offered a contract originally, like all those things, he's defied the odds plenty of times. And so hopefully I'm wrong. We're wrong about our fears and our concerns, whatever. But I just, until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to be scared for Johnny Gargano in his long term. But that's okay. Maybe 2 years of crappy main roster and we're back on NXT and everybody's happy. Who knows?
Hey, it worked for Finn Balor.
finally, it took almost a year, but yeah, it's working for Finn Balor now.
Yes, and we'll go into that in a second because I have definitely thoughts on that match. And you talk about Daniel Bryan. I mean, damn, Kyle O'Reilly, man. Talking about, you know, Daniel Bryan level push.
But bigger than Daniel Bryan and bigger than Johnny Gargano. So
yes, yes. So next we have Santos Escobar versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Santos was defending the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. This has been a program really months in the making. I mean, they fought each other during the Cruiserweight tournament or the NXT Cruiserweight Championship tournament. And then we saw Santos change from Ijole Fantasma to, you know, Santos Escobar, and, you know, Legado de Fantasma grew and all of that. They've been having some beef for quite a while, and Legado de Fantasma, that entrance by Santos, I mean, with the gear, the getup, the whole essence of Santos Escobar is something I still personally love. I think it's working. I think he's killing it. And I just adore it. This match itself, also super very entertaining. You think about Cruiserweights and everything that they did, especially Isaiah Swerve Scott. It seemed like he had something to prove in this match, wanting to kind of outpace, outrun, outjump, do everything that Santos couldn't, or trying to edge him out on that. And it worked until it didn't, until Santos found those holes in Isaiah Swerve Scott's kind of armor and really capitalized and took advantage of that. We had some run-ins, of course, with Legado de Fantasma and causing a distraction. So many near falls in this one as well that it kind of gave me a few moments of panic. But ultimately, Santos retaining the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. And you know, I'm not sure where this leaves Isaiah Swerve Scott at this point. I don't know if there's a new contender coming up for the Cruiserweight Championship, but I think it's still solidifying Santos as one of the best Cruiserweight champions in recent memory, if not leading to becoming the best in this modern age of the Cruiserweight Championship.
He definitely can. I'm glad that the title finally got defended on a takeover, since it became the NXT Cruiserweight Championship.
It's the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, and you hardly ever see it defended on takeover.
This is the first time ever, so it's not even hardly ever to it.
Jesus.
This is the first time ever. Now, it's only been the NXT title for like a year before it was WWE.
And they've had like several takes. I know.
They have. They've had a bunch. And it's been weird because you have 205 Live. Like, there's still some disparity amongst the whole Cruiserweight deal and whatever. But if it's going to work, it's going to work with Santos Escobar as the Cruiserweight champion. I was worried about this one, too, because it seemed rushed how they did it. And they had history, so it was fine. And so I was like, ooh, they're rushing this. Maybe they're moving Legado del Fantasma off of NXT. Thankfully, they're not, because that act is another one. And plus, you've got, you know, Latino influence all over on SmackDown. So, again, they get lost in the shuffle. And then you wouldn't have an NXT.
That would talk about things that are going to get lost in translation on you know, Raw or SmackDown. That is something that would not translate. It just wouldn't.
Plus, that
it's the best in the entire company, the best Latino representation as far as storyline wise.
And it has the potential. He has the potential to eventually be a contender for the North American or NXT championship. And so I don't want to limit him to Cruiserweight and then done at all, because I don't view him as a Cruiserweight. I view him as the Cruiserweight champion, but I think I'm saying I don't view him as a Cruiserweight in the sense that I don't think he's stuck as a Cruiserweight for his entire career. I think he can hold other championships, and very few Cruiserweight champions have held other championships. So I think he can transcend that eventually, as long as it's given the time to do that. Plus, I mean, I thought this match was going to steal the show, because I've seen Killshot and King Cuerno wrestle before, and they were two of my favorites on Lucha Underground. I'm not sure people in WWE even know about that, but whatever. I was super excited about it. I did love that Beth Phoenix pointed out that Swerve Scott has wrestled under a mask before. That was a nice bit of commentary by her. Didn't say how or where, and I'm sure a lot of fans were left wondering what the hell she was talking about, but that was a nice bit of information that I didn't expect to hear from commentary that we know, that people that have watched Lucha Underground, but to hear that, I thought was really, really just a cool bit of commentary.
Next, we had Kushida versus Velveteen Dream. And this is out of all the storylines so far in NXT, this one is honestly the one I was following the least. I know they've had this big back and forth, and you know, this one didn't just. This was a beautiful showcase for Kushida, who, you know, I think that a lot of fans talking about being worried, you know, since he's come back from injury, a lot of fans were concerned that he was going to get lost. I mean, the fact that you could get even lost in the shuffle on NXT, you know, that's a big deal, because NXT is the place where really talented wrestlers from around the world can have that spotlight. I did love kind of this cosplay element. I mean, one thing I do have to give credit for Velveteen Dream is he knows how to come to the ring with style. He came out with this Doc Brown cosplay and to counter Kushida's, you know, whole Back to the Future look, Marty McFly look. And the fact that he can make it look evil is a big testament to him. But I mean, Kushida's attack on Velveteen Dream's arm the entire time, and especially in the end, and after he won, the continuous beating of his arms, like, that was vicious. You know, I mean, even Kushida didn't even do an entrance. Like, he just went straight for it. And I love this aggression. I loved this, because you look at someone who is dressed like Marty McFly and you thought, oh, it's real cute. And maybe that's how it started. But Kushida is deadly in the ring. 100%. I mean, we've seen it all. We've seen it happen. And the fact that now the NXT audience has seen it, you know, Velveteen Dream has seen it. I think he's going to be someone I would hope to see again. He was also part of the Cruiserweight tournament, championship tournament, compete for that, or just have another lengthy program or a solid program with someone else on the NXT roster. This was something that Kushida blew me away, I would say. I mean, Velveteen Dream is also consistently good, but specifically Kushida and his aggressiveness throughout this match from beginning to end, book and badass.
Velveteen Dream needed to lose this match for a lot of reasons, most of them having nothing to do with the in-ring product. I was so happy, though, when he tapped out, because it's Velveteen Dream. Like, you're still wondering, is he actually going to lose? Is he actually going to put over Kushida? Are they going? And he did. He taps out and puts over Kushida. You know, obviously a great match, but he tapped out for him, and that's a big deal. I don't know if Dream's tapped out before. So that puts over Kushida in a big way. What I love about this situation, and I love that this was the second match and the Cruiserweight title was a third match too, to really balance things out, because at this point, Kushida could move on and feud with Santos Escobar over the Cruiserweight Championship, and it's not a demotion.
No.
It's not, and it's the first time that somebody could move from a feud to challenging for the Cruiserweight title and it not be a demotion. Like, say what you want about 205 Lives and the Cruiserweight Championship, and our NXT weekly analyst at Chairshot, Bradley J, for some reason hates Santos Escobar. Literally calls him Santa Claus Ice Cream Bar in his column every single week. I don't get it. Now, rude. I'm partial because literally my favorite character from Lucha Underground was King Corbin. From the most first time he wrestled, I was like, this dude is legit. And the Cruiserweight Championship has never been in a better place. And the fact that I want Kushida to move on and feud with Santos Escobar says a ton. Like that belt has been elevated finally from having been in NXT. Like, it's trial and error. It works. And Kushida just looked like $1 million. I would believe him challenging Damian Priest. I would believe him challenging Finn Balor. I would believe him in a feud with Adam Cole. And you guys know how I feel about Adam Cole. So I am love what they've done with both of those. And I mentioned them together because I think that's probably where they're headed. And I'm here for it. 100%. I'm here for it.
So next we're going to talk about the NXT Women's Championship match, Io Shirai defending the title against Candice LeRae. Candice won this opportunity by winning a battle royal several weeks ago. And, you know, again, we mentioned it with Johnny. Candice LeRae has also gone through this transformation where she's now the Poison Pixie. And, you know, the sweet, lovable attitude she had is realized hasn't, you know, done much for her. So now she's taken, you know, this kind of villainous turn. And that helped her win the battle royal to get this opportunity. And I mean, the big thing for me talking about too, how Kushida was the star of that is I think Candice LeRae did wonderful in this match. For me, the literal thing I texted Greg was, I need to redo my top five list. Because I had EO at 3. And this was from last week's hashtag Miranda show, where we did a top 5 of all the current champions of active promotions. And I had Bayley as 1, Asuka number 2, and EO number 3. And I'm moving her. She's getting promoted to the top of the list.
Which is where, by the way, I had her. We made our list.
I thought you had Asuka as your first
one. I changed it because I literally see where I have it crossed out and changed it during the show. Originally, I did have Asuka and I had EO too, but then in talking about EO, I moved her to number 1 because of what she does in the ring and the brand she's on and how it translates.
Exactly. She has a beautiful blend of promo work and she was perfection in the ring. And talking about kind of the nuances too, I think the commentary did a good job of showing and talking about her wrestling experience, mentioning something I didn't know, her Lucha Libre background and how that has impacted. I mean, we talk a lot too about her training and background in Japan, but also, you know, this additional deadly combination of a Lucha Libre background and the promo work beforehand on the promo package they had for this was fantastic. Her performance in the ring just felt flawless. Like it just, she truly is something special. And it took, not to say that it just took this match, but I think the dynamic in this match really helped and really examining and seeing her. She truly is the full package. She has both elements of good personality and in-ring performance. And I thought this was a great match for Candice LeRae. I commented on Twitter. I thought she has a beautiful moonsault. I know that she, again, had a different approach to this match. And I think this new level of aggression for her works out very well. I do love how in this match too, you know, when the referee got knocked out, Johnny came out in a ref shirt. You know, I think that's just the right amount of comedy, you know, just enough where it's ridiculous, but also where it's not so, you know, outrageous that it pulls away from the match. Because ultimately EO won, you know, she retained on top of all the crazy things that happened. I think that when we saw that with Sasha and Bayley, it was like, what in the hell? Somehow that portion of this match worked for NXT. Right. But I have to admit, I mean, we say when we're wrong, we're wrong. And I am now promoting EO from number 3 to number 1 of my top women's champions in active promotions.
I was highly critical of Candice LeRae the first time she wrestled Io Shirai to take over. And people destroyed me for it because they love Candice LeRae. But Io walked her through the match the first time, like literally had to push her to be in certain positions. Like it got me into a lot of arguments because I was like, you don't know what you're looking at and you're complaining. Like, just, yeah, I'm going to have to understand what I'm looking at and what I know. This was not the case here. Like, this was a great match for Candice LeRae, and she definitely has bloomed and blossomed as a performer. Remember, most of her fame and her career before WWE was wrestling against men. And so she was not a woman's wrestler before she was a woman who was a wrestler, which is really the way it should be anyway. But now she's strictly in the women's division and she's coming into her own. It's funny because I'm less worried about her and the potential draft than I am Johnny Gargano and the potential draft. Just because it's the size difference is much lessened and getting lost in the shuffle is a little bit different for the women's division. I do think that this was a great way to put over Io Shirai. I think that Io was a lot of times thought to be the champion just because they didn't really have anybody else. And because, you know, Rhea Ripley lost it to Charlotte and then we transitioned to Io and everyone thinks Rhea is going to be gone in the next week as well. And and EO is proving to be a great champion, not a paper champion, not a transitional champion, just a damn good champion who deserved a run like she's having. So I'm on board 100%. And she's got the potential battles now with Toni Storm and Ember Moon. Like literally in one night, they kind of reset the women's division that was somewhat lacking.
Yes.
And I think the talent is there for the women's division. We just need time for the talent to elevate and get to the place where they need to be. And instead of rushing the talent, now we got two people that can help the division thrive while the other talent comes up. And this is amazing for the women's division in NXT. And I think very soon it can go back to being one of the best things in wrestling like it used to be.
Yeah. And I think it will be. And of course, yeah, right after the match, we had Toni Storm appear on video saying that she's coming back to NXT. And then as well, the promos that had been airing for the past few weeks of someone coming back to reclaim what's theirs. Someone on a motorcycle pulls up and it's Ember Moon. And talking about people coming back to NXT, you know, she is in the right place for her. She was someone that got lost in the shuffle when she left NXT to go, you know, to Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, things just never quite clicked for her. She's coming in with a bit of a new persona and a new attitude. And, you know, I think it's a really good thing for Ember Moon. But it's a great thing as well for the women's division, because now you have two fresh competitors, both appearing at the same night, both trying to stake a claim in the NXT Women's Championship, while you still have the development of others. I mean, Io had a great match with Shotzi Blackheart. That is not going to be the last match, I'm guessing, that she's going to have with Shotzi.
Shotzi's a star.
Period. As they say. You know, of course, even she had a great match with Dakota Kai, and, you know, there's a lot of potential for Dakota Kai to grow, and, you know, obviously compete for the championship again. Maybe this isn't the last time for Candice LeRae too. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, but they shook up the women's division in a way that's going to keep things fresh. And, I mean, Toni Storm too has been out of the picture as well for a little bit. So it's going to be great to see her back in and for fans to be able to be reintroduced for her. But I think it's going to benefit Ember the most, you know?
Yeah.
It really will.
Ember's got to stay healthy. I will say that, because she's been marred by injuries. But this is one of the reason why I'm most excited about Ember coming back is because she did not get the proper run in NXT the first time. Mm-hmm. I hated the fact that Asuka never put her over. Like, the fact that Asuka retained and then went and vacated the title. And then when Ember wins the title, the vacant title, Asuka's there to give it to her. Why didn't they just let Asuka put her over? Like, I know you wanted to keep the undefeated streak going and all that, and, you know, because LOL, Charlotte wins. But it was – that would have made Ember, and Ember struggled since then. And then shortly thereafter, she's on Raw and SmackDown too. And so she never really got the right run that she should have received. I mean, she got one win over Shayna Baszler. Then she lost, and it was Baszler's for a long time, except for the short blip when Kairi Sane won it just so Baszler could, you know, just for evolution. But now I think we'll get the Ember Moon run we were supposed to get the first time, and I'm really excited for it. And you're right. She fits in NXT, and that's the thing. Like, NXT is in this weird place because – I've gone back to using the phrase main roster with Raw and SmackDown because the contracts are different. The TV deals are different. It's all different. But NXT is this mixture of developmental and not developmental. And there are some people who just fit NXT and were probably brought in for NXT. The Undisputed Era is a great example of that. Ember Moon is a great example of that. Johnny Gargano is probably a great example of that too. And we'll see how that experiment goes. Maybe when all is said and done, Ricochet was a great example of that. Although I think his time will come on the main roster. But Ember Moon is an NXT star, and I think that her being back in NXT is just, like you said, it's where she belongs. It's going to do wonders, and I think she is going to thrive there, and I think she's going to be happy there.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Shotzi, we have to talk about the announcement that they made. Halloween Havoc is coming to NXT for the Wednesday episode during the week of Halloween. I believe that is the 28th.
Yep.
Yes. Big news. I mean, this is something fans have been wanting. I mean, you've talked about this. We talked about it on the Greg DeMarco show. Halloween Havoc is officially coming to NXT. We are getting it back, everyone. It's being circulated that Shotzi Blackheart will actually host it.
Yep, that's how it was advertised. Yeah,
How it was advertised. And so that's again a perfect fit for her. As you know, really this she's just a big fan of Halloween and just a great fit for it. Where NXT is delivering on these WCW themed pay-per-views, modifying them for the purposes of the weekly show. And this is just,
I will say this. I'm excited about it, obviously. And we all know that. We've talked about it. Some small independent company in Cleveland made a lot of money off this because they own the trademark and WWE obviously paid them for it. So Or they didn't, and they'll just sue the hell out of them. I don't know. But I'm assuming that somebody just got their whole year's budget and beyond paid for by owning the Halloween Havoc name and selling it back to WWE. So good on you, good on them, and good on NXT for delivering what everybody wanted to see, which is Halloween Havoc.
We'll be talking about that
obviously
when that happens.
Absolutely. It sure does seem like a Miranda Show topic, doesn't it? Like,
of course. Oh my gosh. Halloween Havoc. I mean, really. And also, I mean, one of the best theme pay-per-views, you know, of all time. I mean, talking about terrible debuts. Very tempted. Yes. I was very tempted. I did not add it on the list to include the debut of the Yeti.
How can you not?
Because it was a hard list. There was other things I included. You're going to have to listen to the terrible episode. But you know, the Yeti was on the short list, but did not make the list.
Okay. Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm 100%. I'm on board.
And so now we get to the main event. Finn Balor defending the NXT Championship against Kyle.
Wait, can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
You just made the list.
Okay, I'm fine. I had to find it.
You had to. Anyways, Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly.
That a lot of people make that mistake.
Yes, Kyle O'Reilly. Because if you say it too fast, you can't.
It's Kyle O'Reilly. Yes.
Kyle O'Reilly. For the NXT Championship, great build up for this. I mean, just the week earlier,
I was like, great build up, really? Like, no, I wouldn't say great build.
Well, I was going to get into the promo thing that they did with Shawn Michaels the week before. And you kind of interrupted me as I was saying more the side of Kyle O'Reilly, building him up as, you know, really this big baby face, you know, really almost solidifying him as one of the next big baby faces in NXT, talking about his career, how much he meant in the scheme of you know, the Undisputed Era, his dedication, his hard work, and really a little bit of a tit for tat between Kyle and Finn about, you know, both of them have been in this business for a long time. Finn has had 5 extra years on him, but Kyle mentioned 5 extra years for what? You know, at this point in both of their careers, they've both traveled around the world. They've dedicated their time, their family, their bodies to this business. And now it's Kyle's time. This is really, you know, the biggest opportunity of his entire career. And the fact that the Undisputed Era were so supportive of him, you know, that it wasn't a jealousy thing, at least at this point, that's coming up. And, you know, the match itself was different. As far as the beginning and the pacing of it, you know, a lot of the other matches throughout the night started off very quick. This one was a little bit slower and methodical. I do have to say, I'm never going to look at Eric Guttari the same way ever again. I'm just like, how can you not?
He's been doing that forever, though.
I know, but like, I don't know if it was just, I think it was the extra grind afterward, you know, he did the guitar and maybe just the arm placement and then the extra just push and grind in there. Okay. I don't know. But I'll watch that on repeat all day. I'm just putting that out there. Watch that GIF at least 2 times a day. No, this one also too was very brutal. I mean, Finn was on the offensive most of the time and Kyle was able to get in some offense as well with, you know, in the holes that he saw, they seemed further and far in between. But when he was able to execute them, it was like precision. You know, he was able to just pinpoint areas of Finn, really his leg, while Finn focused on Kyle's arm throughout the match. And really, both of them ended this match just bloody. You know, I mean, there was elements of this where I thought at one point we were going to see a double turn. Like I thought at one point, as Finn literally was applying the sharpshooter, I thought, could this be a double turn? You know, you see, you know, blood coming out of Finn's mouth or Kyle's mouth. And, you know, at one point it's thinking, gosh, you know, this easily could, you could have a moment where the tide turns. And, you know, not to say that Kyle was in this as a heel, but a definitive moment where you could have this, the sympathy overflowing for Kyle in this match. And it didn't quite happen, but I think overall, this was one of the best matches all year in NXT, and one that was, again, different. It wasn't this, you know, off the top rope, high flying back and forth speed. You know, I think as fans, we've gotten so used to that dynamic in general from NXT, but also from what we see in AEW and other promotions, that this was just more of a solid technical wrestling match, but also played with psychology. It also played on storytelling. You know, there was just so many nuances and elements in it that was really compelling. And again, you know, wasn't, I don't know if this is what people kind of expected, but it really, really delivered. And they of course made, of course, Finn look like a wonderful defending champion, but Kyle as a legitimate contender. And you talk about Daniel Bryan push that, you know, I mean, it's, he could define his own genre almost of pushes at this point. I mean, I think if you wanted to try and fit someone into that mold at this time, it's not Johnny, it's Kyle. 100% If you were going to do that, Kyle would be the perfect candidate for a Daniel Bryan style push.
They did a great job with what they had. I mean, the build was so short when Kyle won the five-way. And what's funny about the five-way they put together, everyone kind of picked Kyle to win the five-way, even though it didn't kind of make sense. Like, he's not a main eventer, but now he is. Like, this established Kyle O'Reilly as a main event talent in NXT. And for the first time, at least as of right now, you have a stable with two main event guys in it, which is rare for WWE. Mm-hmm. NXT is a little bit different. I was wrong. I said last week, NXT TakeOver 31, you'll never see it coming. I said that Adam Cole was going to cost Kyle O'Reilly the NXT championship. It did not happen. I have a new theory. It's also not going to happen that we'll talk about later. But this was exactly what it needed to be for both guys. Because that's the thing. Like, we can talk. I can talk for days. I mean, I followed Ring of Honor so closely when Kyle was there. And the buildup with Adam Cole for this was perfect. Like, I was worried because I predict on one night that, you know, you'll never see it coming. And then the next night, they have Adam Cole go out there and carry the Kyle O'Reilly flag, just screaming that he's going to turn on him, right? With everything that they were doing. Like,
yeah, no, I mean,
literally challenge the guy to a match. And
in factions like that, you know, when someone, you know, who isn't the leader tries to come up.
Yeah, it's, like, you know, everyone. Yeah, exactly. The Evolution pictures were all over the place and Randy Orton. And of course, he turned out okay. But It was so good, but it was so great for Kyle. And you've already just talked about that. This was exactly what Finn Balor needed. Like, Finn Balor, since coming to NXT, has been kind of eh, you know, and he hasn't lost a takeover match. They kept doing that. And, you know, it's funny because I think NXT would be worse than it is right now if Karrion Kross was the NXT champion and not Finn Balor. Like, he just doesn't fit NXT. Like, what he does isn't NXT.
You said this many, many a time.
And, like, he's and a main so this, roster talent.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say that. I think the initial statement surprised me, but your point of view, perspective on this does not surprise me at all one bit, because you've been very adamant about this from the very beginning.
Right. It's not a knock on Karrion Kross. It's just kind of like how Ember Moon belongs in NXT. Karrion Kross doesn't. That's all I'm saying. He belongs. He doesn't belong in NXT. He belongs on Raw. Like, that's where he belongs. And that's probably where he's going to end up. Like, I don't expect to see him back in NXT. I really don't. Unless it's to put somebody over and then go to the main roster, which is where I think he could be a huge star. But Finn Balor, he finally fits again in NXT, in my opinion. Winning the title, he's completely different than he was the first time he won the title. There's no sign of the demon anywhere, nor should there be. And there's so many different directions you can go right now with Finn Balor. He, I think, is a champion NXT needs. I'm kind of teetering on where I'm going with next week's Greg DeMarco show, but that's definitely what my big takeaway outside of Kyle, which you talked about so well, I'd only be restating it, is that this is exactly what Finn Balor needed. And now the sky is the limit with Finn Balor as the NXT champion.
Yeah. You know, it is one of those things that, of course, this in some ways wasn't supposed to happen because, you know, we don't really.
Everything happens for a reason.
everything happens for a reason, you know? And so Finn winning the title, this match with Kyle, in some ways doesn't seem like it was supposed to happen, but it did. And it became one of the best things that came out of this night and in NXT throughout the whole year. We talked about last week about there's a rarity in 2020 of people really benefiting from this year. And in this point in time, and even for the rest of the year, this could be Kyle's time. And you know, we did see some things happen at the end, with Adam Cole being beat up to an unconscious pulp.
Before you go there, I just want to go back to what you were saying about Kyle and Kyle's time. Mm-hmm. Because I want to bring up something and it just won't make as much sense once we get into that next topic. So I forgot where my comparison now, which is killing me. I just lost it completely and it'll have to come back to me. But okay, now I do know. So remember when Daniel Bryan had this whole big, huge WrestleMania moment, WrestleMania 30, all that. And then he had to go away. And at Money in the Bank, John Cena becomes WWE champion and then basically gets squashed by Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. It's great that I'm telling the story now because Miranda is frozen. So when she unfreezes, which as soon as I, whenever I say you're frozen, you immediately unfreeze. I should just, that's the key to you unfreezing is as soon as you, I need to just call it out and then you unfreeze. Anyway. So John Cena wins a championship, Money in the Bank, goes on and just gets squashed by Brock Lesnar. Well, that was supposed to be Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was going to get squashed by Brock Lesnar to establish Brock as this monster and this villain and by stomping out everyone's hero like a grape. Well, this was probably supposed to be Kyle O'Reilly versus Karrion Kross. Like, I don't think that Kyle O'Reilly is the change in this. I think that Finn Balor is the change in this. Maybe it was going to be Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. I don't know. But I really think that Kyle O'Reilly was always going to be in this position just against Karrion Kross at some point. I think it's better with Finn Balor because he matches up better with Finn Balor and he can do more. But that's, you know, we talk about the Daniel Bryan push. Like, it's interesting because I think that he may not have been the replacement. Finn Balor may have been the replacement, but I love that they see this in Kyle and love where it is. And like I said, it's more important now because where you're going is going to completely derail that part of the topic a little bit because, well, Greg has ideas, but.
Yes. Well, going real quick into what happened afterwards, just briefly, because it has implications seemingly for the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole got beat up by, was it Rich?
Ridge Holland.
Ridge Holland. And pretty much just was thrown over the barricade at Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong came out kind of just in a panic. So it seems like there's going to be a force coming out to whether it's directed at Adam Cole or the entire Undisputed Era. We will see. But this was a bit surprising to me as far as this is, you know, the state that we saw Adam Cole in.
Yeah. And okay, I got questions, first of all. If Kyle O'Reilly.
You have so many questions, but I'm going to enact a hashtag Miranda Wright.
Oh, hang on. Let me get your music for you. She froze again. So I need to say she's frozen so she can unfreeze because that's just what happens. It's a great pose that you're frozen in. Like, seriously, it is a fantastic, fantastic pose. In fact, I hope.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I was going to take a picture and send it to you.
Boo. Anyways, okay. You have one question. What is the one question? Not many questions. You just have one.
That's fine. That's fine because my one question isn't my prediction that I told you about anyway. So, my one question is, if Kyle O'Reilly is challenging Finn Balor for the NXT Heavyweight Championship, why are Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish not watching the match with Adam Cole? So why wouldn't they have been there when this supposed attack took place?
That's a mystery. That's some unsolved. Can we play the Unsolved Mysteries theme? Or is that also popular?
I'll do that instead.
That's fine enough. But, you know, I think overall with this takeover, it solidified some things on the roster as far as who are some shining stars who are going to be some people to watch out on the roster. It's definitely opened some new chapters and contenders throughout. And it definitely opened storylines for us to take us really through the rest of this fall. So bravo to NXT, NXT TakeOver 31. Highly recommend it. If for some reason you didn't watch it, well, you need to go and watch it right now. No,
but I have to make my thing. My I don't know if it's a prediction. Whatever I teased it as yesterday. Or no, today. Isn't it today I told you I had something for the show?
So you have a bold? Is it considered a bold prediction?
I don't know what you want to call it. We'll call it a bold prediction. Okay. Ridge Holland came to WWE Performance Center off the rugby field. Okay. That's what he was. He was a rugby player before coming to WWE. And someone else was a big-time rugby player before ascending to fame and fortune as an NFL punter and a podcaster. There is a legitimate connection between Ridge Holland and one Patrick McAfee. I don't think Pat McAfee's done. I think the mastermind behind this whole thing, splitting up the Undisputed Era, because it's obvious that Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong were in on it, and getting Ridge Holland to attack Adam Cole was all the mastermind of the greatest villain in 2020, Pat McAfee. And there's really only one way that I can drive that home.
Fuck you, Pat! Whoa.
That's all I can say.
That's all you can say.
This is all the mastermind.
That's it.
I told you it would never come true.
Who knows? Yeah, 2020 is a crazy year. So we will wait and see. But, you know, before we wait and see all of that, we got some bills to pay, Greg.
Yes, we do. And I got to get back. Going to the Pat McAfee soundbite, I moved all around. Here we go. Pay some bills.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Masked Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
So there was a little bit of Diet Pepsi left in the can, and I poured it on my keyboard. So
wow, that's why, Greg. Wow.
That's what I'm doing. Yep. There's a little bit in there. So try to be like, ooh, look how empty it is. There's a little drop left, and I got the keyboard.
Yeah, because
pretty much cleaned it up.
You're just too confident for yourself. Anyways, real quick, the second topic that we've been teasing tonight. The leader of Retribution was revealed on this week's Raw. Someone that, you know, one.
Frozen in time once again. And you're back. See, as soon as I say you're frozen, you come back. That's the magic.
It's not the magic. It's not the magic. It's just if you don't point it out, like.
But when I point it out, you become unfrozen. And you don't know you're frozen.
That's what you think. You think it's because you like you're magic, like you're Elsa, and like you freeze and unfreeze stuff. Like.
I definitely don't think I'm Elsa. I can confirm that for sure.
Let it go. Let it go. So we had a leader of Retribution revealed. One, we didn't think there was going to be a leader of Retribution. And this individual was probably not on the top of our list as potential leaders of Retribution. It all started with Mustafa Ali in a match against MVP. And then during that match, we had some disruption happening. The all of the Thunderdome went dark, the lights went off, and the Retribution logo was all around the Thunderdome, and the members of Retribution came to ringside and really surrounded the ring. The Hurt Business was there accompanying and supervising or supporting MVP. And, you know, Mustafa Ali, they switched that mindset from the match to, well, we got to work together in order to take down Retribution. However, Mustafa Ali then rolls out of the ring to confront, I don't remember, Slapjack and...
That was T-Bar and Mace that he was confronting.
T-Bar and Mace.
Yes.
Yes. Comes out to confront T-Bar and Mace and stares them down. But instead of making a move, he ends up turning around and essentially aligning with them. Retribution then takes care of the Hurt Business. They fight in and out of the ring, and ultimately they successfully beat them up and get them out. And we find out that Mustafa Ali is the leader of Retribution. We haven't seen Mustafa Ali in quite a while. There was rumors at one point that he was the SmackDown hacker. But, you know, he's been someone that we hadn't seen in quite a while. And definitely not on anyone's shortlist as the leader of Retribution. Retribution.
Retribution.
But, you know, I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about this. You know, Retribution had been built up all summer as this big menacing force. But now we do start to see that it really is this Retribution versus the Hurt Business storyline. It's really brewing and developing. And now we have more of a clear path for that. I think at this point, I mean, why it doesn't hurt. What was Mustafa Ali doing? And again, it's an interesting turn in character for him. And at this point, it's what he needs. You know, he's played this great baby face for quite a while, but that only gets you so far. And I don't know if that will actually help the narrative of Retribution as far as stars who felt discarded, who felt that they were overlooked. And Mustafa Ali does have that absolutely. As part of, you know, his background and his time on the roster. But it's also kind of an odd choice. Is that just me?
No, I don't think it's just you. I don't think it's an odd choice because it needed to be shocking, right? It needed to be a surprise. And it's an odd choice because I don't think he ever wanted to do the role, to be honest with you. Mustafa Ali has always wanted to be the hero. He literally became a Chicago police officer to help people.
He is a real life hero.
He's a real life hero. And he even kind of tweeted about how he had to give up on a dream. And so I think that's a shoot, as people like to say. But at the same time, we said it before, okay, Retribution became Retribution because it was dead in the water. Like, it was just done. Like, there was nothing they could do to save it. And then I think they saved it by having Mustafa Ali become the leader, because they took someone that people actually care about. And when I say people, I mean the online fan base, and Mustafa Ali, and made him the leader of Retribution. And even if Retribution doesn't work out, it wasn't going to work out anyway. Mm-hmm. But now Mustafa Ali has something he can sink his teeth into. And the turnaround is one of the best moves in professional wrestling. Like, think back to when the invasion was taking place and when all the WCW talent came down to the ring to fight the WWE talent, and they were getting ready to do battle, and all the ECW talent walked up and got in the face of the WCW guys and then turned around. And the WWE guys were like, oh shit. That's what MVP did. MVP, so brilliant in what he did. Like, it was so perfect that he was on the match, because he was kind of like being very Hurt Business with Mustafa Ali. What are you going to do? And Mustafa Ali goes out there and steps up to him, and MVP's like, look at this guy. He's either impressed or he's laughing because he's about to get destroyed. And then when Mustafa turns around, like, you see the look on MVP's face just completely change. Like, he puts over the whole thing. The only thing I didn't like was they couldn't come up with a better line than the goofy heel line of get him. Like, that just is, you know, like I wish Mustafa could have said something a little bit cooler than get him, but whatever. Like, I think Mustafa as the leader and his facial expression changed. Like, It's not the role that he's probably born to play, but it's going to show us the skill that he has as a performer. Yes,
his range is going to, and, you know, I think it's going to be, it's going to show his range in a way that you had to kind of be a bad guy in order to do that. You know, that's the best evolution of someone's career and longevity and all of that. You know, I mean, you could only play a good guy for so long. And I understand there's this humanistic aspect of it for him personally. I also do think it's kind of weird in a way, like, you know, if your whole team or your whole group is all about, you know, causing mayhem and destruction of public property. And, you know, again, but it's all fave, you know, it's all sports entertainment. Right. So, you know, that line doesn't really matter, but at the, I get that in some sense, but, you know, like you said, it doesn't hurt. Now it still feels like I wish the company was making a bigger deal out of it. I was watching the top 10 moments from WWE and even WWE didn't list that as their number one moment of the night. They actually had it at number three. They had another moment from Keith Lee and Braun Strowman as number two. And then I think it was the match with Drew McIntyre's number one. So I think that should have been the number one moment of the night, though. Oh, my gosh. I think it obviously, you know, so much to it that, you know, they make this big turn, but yet now the company's
got some freezing. You're freezing. Again. Oh, no, you're back. You're back.
You're freezing. Now it's done. So yeah, again, I think next week's Raw will be very interesting to see what's at this next level, this next step. Maybe we hear Mustafa Ali finally talk and provide an explanation, the one that we've really been wanting and needing, and not behind a muffle mask, but as Mustafa Ali. So that too, I could see where the potential, if he's out this voice, this figurehead or whatever of this faction, you know, he could be that voice that will help it be taken seriously. And you keep the people behind the masks and whatnot. And again, too, you have a legit program with between Retribution and the Hurt Business. And you establish the Hurt Business as also a legitimate group. So that I'm not mad at all. I think it's actually a really great pairing because you also play with the Hurt Business isn't necessarily good guys or bad guys. You know, they're just guys.
They're heel characteristics, but they're in the hero role.
Yes.
They are.
Sure.
I will say this. I'm glad it was number three on the list because that's been part of the problem with Retribution is that it was built up to be this like stable that's going to change Raw and all. So again, it was Triple Dixie, the way they announced it. And it's better that they're just a storyline. It's better that they're not the storyline on Raw. And it's better that they have a defined program and we've established them great. And now they've kind of settled into a role. And it's better that they're number three on the marquee and not number one on the marquee because I don't think they could deliver as number one on the marquee. But I think they can deliver as number three on the marquee. There's so much you can do now that they have a leader. They needed a leader. They lacked leadership. T-Bar couldn't be the leader. He just couldn't. Like, he had no credibility in that position. Mustafa Ali is a name, a face that people know. He has credibility. And there's so much you can do. Like, okay, the masks all suck, right? We know that. The masks are stupid. The names are stupid. So what if T-Bar goes out and does something, you know, and takes out Bobby Lashley, right? And maybe even wins the United States Championship, even if he doesn't, just physically takes him out. And now Mustafa says, you know what? You can take off the mask, T-Bar. Now you're Dominik Dijakovic. Like, he can earn his name. Like, we can get rid of the stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And we can do it in a way that makes sense. Exactly. We can peel back the stupid things. And maybe we just kick Shane Thorne out at some point because he's dead in the water anyway. So his name's Slapjack and he's wearing a plate on his face. Like, it's just not going to work. But they can make up for it now. Like, they have the storytelling opportunities at their disposal. I don't know if they're going to use them. You know, they listen to this show, so now they can because we've told them what to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's a factor. But this can save Retribution. It can save. And if Mustafa Ali fails as leader of Retribution, he's just going to go back to being whatever he was going to be. Like,
yeah, this is, I mean, at this point, icing on the cake. It can't. I don't think it's going to completely be detrimental to his career. Because also, I mean, the fact that he's leading this group, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I ever saw him leading anything, to be honest. And that's not a slight on him. It's just the way that the company had set him up. And, you know, really, I think our perception of him as just being more of a supporting character and not a star. I mean, you got to take big chances in order to get that big reward. And this is one of them. I agree, though. I don't think it's going to make Retribution worse. You know, Retribution was getting worse all by itself. So I do think it could be better. It almost makes me feel like it could be a little bit of the Straight Edge Society and CM Punk type of role, you know, that, you know, Mustafa is really this guy leading the directionless, you know, that he gathered these people who all had no sense of direction and meaning, and he brought them together to bring them purpose. You know, that's a pretty powerful type of role. And again, I didn't think of Mustafa Ali in that, but in wrestling, that type of character, when you bring that essence, when you put that in a story, can do wonders for, you know, the way that you're perceived and your career in general. So we will continue to see what happens with Retribution. I'm sure we'll have some developments throughout the next few weeks. And that does it for another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Thank you all so much for listening and watching. Don't forget that you can find this podcast and others on thechairshot.com.
Sorry, I was preparing your show ending music again.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, I'll go back to that now.
Well, because I usually pause, because as soon as I say something, then you just press the button. So I
wild card, bitches! Yeah!
You done?
Okay. Absolutely.
You go to thechairshot.com to listen to this podcast and others. Also, you can stream this through your favorite podcast streaming platform like Spotify, Google, iTunes, and so on and so forth. Those are just the main ones. I stream through Spotify personally. That's my favorite. But while you're there, also, you can subscribe so that you can follow along and make sure you get notified when this podcast and others from the Chairshot Radio Network drop. You can rate and review, so you can leave us a 5-star rating, and you can leave comments as to things that you like about the show, topic recommendations, so on and so forth. And if you are watching this on YouTube, thank you so much. You can go to the Chairshot's YouTube page, where you can see this whole conversation and loveliness happening every single week. See our lovely faces all the time, because we got, you know, this face ain't gonna hide behind, you know, a microphone. This face has been meant to show the world. And speaking of seeing our faces, you can follow us on social media at the hashtag Miranda, hashtag spelled out, on Instagram and Facebook, at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and of course at Chairshot Media. So you can follow the Chairshot on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you all again so much for listening to the show, for watching it. I'm always truly honored that you take the time out of your week to listen to the show. Let us know your thoughts on social media as far as what you think on our thoughts for NXT TakeOver 31 and Retribution. And you know what? We're going to do this again. I'm always going to be back with you guys. So thank you all so much for listening to this week's edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. For Greg DeMarco, I'm Miranda Morales. And don't forget to soft style.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off buy rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.